tonight, find your way to a seat. We are wrapping up a series today called Notes to Self, which means next Sunday we're launching a brand new series called Love Revolution. And we'll be talking through different aspects concerning how God's love changes everything. And I just want to sometimes give you a heads up whenever things are coming. So next week, we're going to be talking about romantic love. And so I'll just say to you, next week's going to be a little bit PG or PG-13. So if you typically bring your younger school agers in with you, you may want to put them back in LifePoint Kids. You may bring up some questions that as a parent, you may or may not be ready to talk about. You can pray for me this week. I've been studying up for a while as we head towards next Sunday, issues that are kind of controversial in our culture as we kind of head towards that, okay? So like I said, today we're finishing up this series called Notes to Self, and kind of the idea of the series has been that legacy begins today. We've talked about what would it be like if you could go back and write yourself a note. Knowing what you know now, the experience you have now, go back and write yourself a note during your teenage years or during your high school years or during your college years or maybe your young married years. What would you say to yourself? How would you say, hey, watch this or change this or be careful about this or don't be concerned about that? That doesn't matter, but this really does matter. And you're not thinking about that. And kind of in the book, what goes on is that Solomon, as an older man, says to us, hey, sit down. I've got some things that I want to share with you. And today what we're doing is we're going to look at how to land your legacy. When we get to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that's really what Solomon is going to talk to us about, okay? So we're going to jump in there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, in which you say, I have no pleasure in them. So Solomon is going to talk to us today more about the breadth of our lives. And the first thing that he brings up is this issue about how our external bodies, the older we get, they struggle. But there's a contrast between the outer us and the inner us, that as the outer us struggles, the internal us can flourish and grow and change. And so while I know that this is really going to be a contradiction to our culture, because our culture is very anti-aging, right? We do everything we can. We Botox it, liposuck it, whatever we can do to it to keep it from getting there. The scriptures are actually very pro-aging because the inner us can grow and flourish. And what Solomon is really going to push us towards today is that a lot of us, we just live in the want to's, right? Well, I know I want to change that. I want to change that, or the someday I'll do that. Someday I'll do that. And Solomon is going to really push us today to move out of just living in the want to's to living in the will to's. To say, you know what? I've got to create an atmosphere and an environment in my life for transformation to take place. So Solomon says, listen, right off the bat, chapter 12, verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't get caught up in the myth that legacy starts tomorrow. I know for a lot of us, we're like, legacy, Dean, I'll think about that in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years down the road. Solomon is saying, don't get caught up in that. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days, before the tough days, the difficult days draw nigh, when you can say, I don't have any pleasure in them. You say, well, what is that like, Dean? Well, Solomon is going to give us an extensive portrait of what that's going to look like, starting then in verse 2. He says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. Most scholars think that what Solomon is talking about is how history repeats itself over and over and over again. And not just the breadth of historical information and experience, but he's talking about our history, personal history, what happens to our bodies. Just like the clouds, sun, the light, they come back after each night, or the clouds return after the rain. Just like there's a cycle, Solomon's talking about the cycle that's going to hit us and our physical bodies. And I remember my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and started when she was in her early 70s. And right during that beginning time where she knew sometimes that she didn't know, and things were kind of in that middle space, that she knew something wasn't right, but she didn't always know what it was. She had this phrase that she said all the time. She would say, once a man, twice a child. Once a man, twice a child. And that's exactly what this part of the verse is saying. That cycle of life repeats itself in us. You say, what's your grandmother saying? What's the scripture saying? You know, just like an infant, right? What is an infant's day like? Eat, sleep, poop, right? I mean, that's all an infant does, right? And what's Solomon saying? If we live long enough, that's your day again. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to just... Aren't you excited you're here today? Aren't you encouraged by this? Solomon says, when the keepers of the house tremble as we get older, it gets more difficult to utilize the function of our fingers and our hands. Things like buttoning a shirt even become difficult. When the strong men are bent, now he's talking about how our backs, the older we get, our backs start to stoop over. Let's do a little experiment. I want everybody to be really, really quiet. And on three, we're all going to stand up. Okay, really quiet. Ready? One, two, do you hear all that creaking going on right there? Go and sit down. That's us, man. Exactly what Solomon said. He's telling the truth. He says when the grinders cease because they are few, he's talking about what happens to us. We get older and we lose our teeth. He says those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. He's talking about how whenever we get old, we peek out the window all the time. We want to know what's going on out in the street because there's fear and there's anxiety and worry. He says when the sound of the grinding is low, he's talking about whenever we get older, we lose our hearing. One rises up at the sound of the bird and the daughters are brought low. He's talking about how when you get older, it gets more difficult to sleep at night, right? You sleep during the day, and so it's harder to sleep at night, and any little thing will wake you up. They are also afraid of what is high and terrors on the way. He talks about how we get older, we get more fear about falling. And then he says, as the almond tree blossoms, he's talking about how as we get older, our hair turns gray, although scientists have proven that there's no connection between gray hair and aging anymore. The next thing he says, this is my favorite one, I think. He says, as the grasshopper drags itself along. I love the imagery. You know, when it's young, it's a grasshopper. And when it's old, it's a grass dragger, right? I love the imagery that he paints. And then, I just love the honesty, right, of the Bible. The Bible just tells it like it is, and desire fails. Here's Solomon, an old man, saying, here's what's coming down the pike. Here's what happens. And they don't have any little blue pills, right, to help Solomon and all his buddies back in Bible times. And he's, hey, look, he had 1,000 wives and women in his harem. And even in all that, Solomon says, and there's going to come a moment, and desire fails. Why? Because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners that go about the streets, before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern, all those are fatal errors, right, with these systems, with these tools, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Solomon is saying to us, listen, work while you still work. While your physical body works, you need to work and be about the business of pursuing, because all of those things are coming. Have you ever seen, maybe some of you, it's a movie's probably about 20 years old, I'm guessing, now maybe even a little older than the movie City Slickers. There's a great scene in City Slickers at the beginning of the movie when Billy Crystal is dad. He gets invited to his son's classroom for career day at school. And before him, there's a New York City steel worker who gets up and tells this story about saving somebody's life, and all the kids are really interested. And then Billy Crystal gets up, and he's like a salesman, right? And he's totally not interested, and the kids are kind of rolling their eyes. And all of a sudden, Billy Crystal launches into this.
Value this time in your life, kids, because this is the time in your life when you still have your choices. And it goes by so fast. When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure, but it's a surgery. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. Start eating dinner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You have lunch around 10, breakfast the night before. Spend most of your time wandering around malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt and muttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. You end up babbling to some Jamaican nurse who your wife can't stand, but who you call mama. Any questions?
That might as well be Ecclesiastes chapter 12, right? I mean, he just said it. That's where we're headed. And listen, I know it's not comfortable, right, to talk about. We don't like to talk about death. That's what Solomon's talking about. There's insurance, right? There's insurance that we buy for the period of time when we were here and we're not going to be here anymore. What do we call that kind of insurance? Life insurance. But how do you collect it? You got to die, right? But would you buy it if it was called death insurance? No one would buy that. When we eat cereal in the morning, we eat life cereal, right? Because no one wants a bowl of death, right? Even when we named our church, right? We named our church, right? Life Point. Because everybody likes life. Would you have come if our church was called Death Point? You wouldn't have come, would you? Because we all like life and we don't like thinking about it. But Solomon is trying to send us a message. Work while you still work. And the second thing he says is remember before you forget. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't say legacy is far off into the future and I'll make those decisions and those choices then. No. Legacy begins today. Legacy is here and now in the choices and the decisions that we're making. We're making it one decision at a time, one block at a time. And Solomon knows your tendency and my tendency is going to be to work ourselves into the grave for our own selfish ends. Our tendency is going to be to go out into the world and to work overtime and to work harder than everybody else and to put all these extra hours. And there's a psychologist named John Capozzi who says it this way. He says, all of those extra hours that you work, all of the extra stress that you have in your life because you work and you work and you work. He says, all of that stress will put you into an early grave. And then the beneficiary of all of your work will be your wife's next husband. It kind of puts that in perspective for us, doesn't it? Solomon knows our tendency. Listen, Americans, we spend $40 billion a year on catalogs. Catalogs. 40, not million, billion with a B. You know the fastest growing businesses in the United States over the last 30 years? Self-storage units. Because we don't have room for all of our stuff. So we have to go get a self-storage unit to put the stuff that we really don't need into a place that's really not close to us because we can't let go of all of our stuff. One of my favorite teachers says it this way, you will never have enough of what you do not need. Isn't that true? You'll never have enough of what you do not need. And Solomon is saying to us, be careful. Be aware, remember now your Creator while you're still young, because there are days coming and you don't want to get to those days. You don't want to get to those days and have a bunch of regret. A few years ago, a family that I knew, I knew one of the members of the family, didn't know him real well. He called me on heading towards weekend, I think it was on a Thursday or a Friday. And he said, hey, my mom has been put into hospice, and she's asked for a pastor to come and see her. Would you mind coming to see her? And they weren't connected or dialed into church really anywhere. And so I said, sure. I don't know the family. All I know is this one guy. I know him a little bit. And so I said sure. And so I walk into the hospice room. Down there, the Kobacher house, and I walk in, to the room, and the family's kind of there, and my friend had met me outside. You know, the guy met me outside, so I kind of walk in with him, and his mom, I think she was early to mid-70s, was kind of laying back in the bed there, and I thought, well, you know, you just do an immediate assessment of the situation. You don't even really plan on it, but you just do it, and you say, well, she's probably not even going to wake up. It's a palliative situation. I'll probably just pray with the family and kind of visit with them. And so he walks in and he kind of leans over the bed and he just kind of whispers in her ear. And he says, Mom, the pastor that you asked about, the pastor is here. And as soon as he said it, she sits straight up in bed, steps out of the bed and comes to me and says, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. And I'm scared out of my mind. Right? I'm like, what's going on? So they finally get her calmed down. They're like, Mom, you're okay. You're okay. They get her back in bed. And she looks at me and she says, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And the family's like, Mom, you're okay. You're not a sinner. Right, Pastor? And I said, no, really, she is. And so are you. And so am I. And I'm certainly not going to talk her out of something, right? That maybe God is working in her. And so I just had the opportunity to share the gospel with the whole family. We're all sinners. We're all flawed. But man, we're loved by Christ. And that's what trumps that. I guess what I'm saying to you is the same thing Solomon is saying to us in this passage. Don't get to the end of your life and have all these regrets. This mountain of regret that all of a sudden you feel like, what do I do with it? No. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. You know, one of my favorite passages in Scripture comes out of the book of Joshua. You know, the children of Israel, they struggled to get into the promised land. They sent out the 12 spies the first time. 10 of them came back, said, we can't do it. There are giants there. 2 of them came back. Joshua, after whom the book is written in the Old Testament. The other one, the other character that is lesser known, he's one of my favorites, is a guy named Caleb. Caleb was the other Joshua and Caleb who said, no, we can do it. God will help us. They're giants. They're big, but we can do it. Well, you know, that led to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness around. So 40 years after the spies come back, then finally the children of Israel make it into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb are the only two that are left over from the previous regime. They get to go into the promised land. And once they finally establish kind of a beachhead in the promised land, they start to make decisions. And they're like, okay, now which tribe is going to be where in the promised land? There's going to be some battles that we're going to have to fight. And so as they're doing this, they kind of defer to Caleb because he's 85 years old. Now, the best part of his life, what we would call the best part of his life, right? Those years, he's 85. And so they look at Caleb and they say, okay, Caleb, what part do you want? Where do you want to go? And I love what Caleb says. Caleb says, see those mountains up there? The ones where the giants live? I want that mountain right there. 85 years old. And he's ready to lead the charge up the mountain. He's got no regrets in the rearview mirror that are holding him back. He's thinking, listen, I thought it 40 years ago, and I still think it now, that God can sustain us in the face of giants. I'll take that mountain right there. Solomon says it is entirely possible that even though the outer us falls apart, that the inner us can grow and flourish and continue to become something beautiful. Here's how Solomon talks to us about landing our legacy in chapter 12. Here's the end of everything he said in Ecclesiastes, starting in verse 9. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote the words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, firm and nails firmly fixed and collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd, my son. Beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of flesh. The end of the matter. Here it is. All has been heard. Here's Solomon's conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon says, let me boil it all down for you. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Solomon says, real living, real life is loving God and following his word. So let me just ask you to take a step back from your life today. A step back from your career, a step back from your calendar, a step back from your responsibilities. And just think big picture. Do you have goals? Do you have like life goals? I've got three. Three that are way up high. One is what Solomon lays out in front of us. The rest of my life, as many days as I have, I want to love God. I want to teach his word as best I can. I want to fulfill whatever it is that God wants for me. Walk with him on a daily basis. I got a treat this week. On Tuesday morning, I think it was Tuesday morning, one of the guys from LifePoint here shot me a text and said, today is my 7-year spiritual birthday. So 7 years ago today, we were sitting in the Discovering Life class, and that was the day for me whenever I came to know Christ. I want to do this as much as I can with the days that God has given me. That's goal number one. Goal number two is I want to be as great of a husband or as good of a husband as I can be to Angie. Incredible gift that God has given to me and her. And I want to serve her, lead our family well, which kind of rolls into goal number three, is I want to be the best dad that I can be. Far from perfect as a husband, far from perfect as a dad. But one of my dreams is that 20 years from now, that my children, as they're growing, as God gives them years, that they'll look back and say, what he taught, what he said he believed, is what he lived, that those two things were the same. Far from being perfect, mess up regularly. Matter of fact, I had to go to one of my daughters there last week and say, Dad blew it there. Sorry about that. Far from perfect. But those are the big three for me. Now, are there other things I would like to do? Well, sure. But they're not on this list here. What do you aspire to? What are your goals beyond getting through tomorrow and getting through next week and next month and just another year out in front of you? Solomon says, real life, loving God, following his word. And you may be sitting there thinking, Dean, how do I do that? How do I follow God's word? Someday I'll take some time and develop this further, but just let me give this to you real quick. Daily, what it means is that you take God's word. I would encourage you to find a book of scripture, read through a book of scripture, take a paragraph a day, get a translation that you can read and understand clearly, take a paragraph a day, read it in, write it down, pray it up, live it out. I'll say that to you again. Read it in. Read the paragraph. Read it in. And then write down. Find a piece of paper or journal, something like that, whatever. Not doesn't have to be pages long. Write down some conclusions. Read it in. Write it down. Take those things that you sense God saying to you. Pray those back to him, that he'll help you fulfill them. Read it in. Write it down. Pray it up. And as much as you can, walk in the presence of God and live it out. Real life. It's loving God and following his word. Now, one of the things that we sought to do in this series was to have moments where we could look backwards. We could have a note to self. Somebody could say, hey, if I had it to do over again in the areas of pleasure or power, here's what I would do. Today's really kind of unique because today falls on a baptism Sunday for us. And so what we're going to do is you're going to see one of our notes to self videos, and it's Bill and Peggy Purcell, who've got a lot of life in the rearview mirror, who could say, hey, looking back, here's what we would say to ourselves. But up against that, you're going to watch a really unique baptism video. Karen Shallcross is going to share the story of she and Scott's baptism with us. Scott has Lou Gehrig's disease, contracted it in 2012. And because of that, we did their baptism about 6 weeks or so ago in their home. And what I love about the contrast between these two stories is you've got the Purcells who look back over a number of years, but then some of you are saying, but Dean, what if I don't get a number of years? What then? And you're going to hear Karen share a little bit of their story and their journey as well. So watch with me.
Hi, my name's Bill Purcell. My wife, Peggy, my boss. I call her my boss. And the way we met is that back when I was a younger man, my mom asked me to go about painting the barn while she went to the United Methodist Annual Conference. So when I went to paint the barn, I saw that she had purchased oil-based paint. And my wife, she wasn't my wife at that point, she was working at a store called Big N at the service desk. When I went to return my oil-based paint, Peggy was there. As I've shared over the past, that I was returning a can of oil-based paint, came out with a golden wife. So that's how we actually got hooked up together. We started dating, eventually got married, 3 kids. I've had a blast. We always try to find God's frequency for our lives. And it seems like whenever we would be in sync, things were very good. When we would get out of sync, we would find that there would be bumps and hurdles.
After we were married, then I always wanted to be a teacher. And that then became a reality. So I have taught for 32 years, and then I retired out of public school teaching. And currently, being a retired teacher, I was asked to come back and do a part-time gig last year, which I did and loved it. It was absolutely wonderful. And then this year, the school has asked me to come back and do that again. So even though I'm retired, I still kind of keep my hand in a little bit with that in my life.
There's been moments in our lives where we find that we're very in tune with God's frequency for our lives, because we were needing to make decisions, family decisions and career decisions.
Well, one of our big choices that came when our daughter was 2, Angie was 2, so 2, 3, probably 5, Adam had just finished kindergarten at Clear Fork, was to stay in the ministry. Bill was a United Methodist minister, and for 10 years that was our lifestyle, and it was wonderful. But to leave that and go out and sell insurance, I was like, that's really scary. We have to find a house, we have to do all these things and pay all these bills that we don't know what they're going to be. And we felt like God really, really put his stamp of approval on this, because a house became available for us to live in. I was offered a job teaching for 1 year. I feel like there's times in our lives, and obviously in yours too, where things seem uncertain and things seem scary. And, you know, we prayed about it and felt that God was saying, yes, here, I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to give you a house. I'm going to do these things. And so I guess notes to self, follow those. Don't be afraid.
God always brought us back to where we were finding joy with our lives, joy with our kids. So the Lord has been very good to us, our family. As little curveballs were thrown our way, we adjusted with the Lord's help. And it's been a fun life. And to talk back to ourselves, when we were 20, I mean, I wouldn't change anything. The path the Lord has led us along has been a lot of fun.
I would do it all over again in a heartbeat. It was fun.
My husband Scott has ALS, and recently we decided to be baptized in our home on August 8th with Pastor Dean. My husband cannot walk or feed himself or talk, so we couldn't use the normal means of being baptized, but Pastor Dean worked with us and helped us with this baptismal. In my life, I have experienced lots of loss. I lost my mom and dad of cancer at the ages of 60. I lost my brother at 41 from a brain tumor, and my best friend who was 42 that had an aneurysm. Also, Scott and I had 3 miscarriages before Evan, our 6-year-old son today. And now Scott has been diagnosed with ALS in 2012. I remember that day so clearly. I reached up to the Lord and I said, "Lord, just get me by through this life. Don't do anything special for me. Just get me by." And the Lord reached down and said, "I'm not going to get you by. I'm going to walk with you during this process with every step." What God has taught me through these last 2 years is I was riding a path of being on this corporate ladder, swinging, trying to be this career mom and wife and caregiver and sister and friend, and I was failing in every avenue, and God has taught me that none of those things were really mattered. I was living in a world of meaningless, and then when my husband got sick, it really showed me what is really meaningful. It's him first, then family, then career. So I was never really living up until today, and that's the reason for us getting baptized. My God comes first, and I'm so in love with Jesus. And every day I thank him for getting me through the next step with my family. My favorite Bible verse right now is, "My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word." Psalm 119:28. I want to thank all of you and all the life groups, and take this opportunity to thank you, that those of you that supported my family. All of you have played a great role in helping us get to this moment of baptismal. I'm Karen Shawcross, and today I'm going public.
You can clap for that. The contrast between those is so stark. And I know some of you are going to sit here and be like, "Yeah, Dean, but Bill and Peggy grew up in a totally different world." I mean, like, painting the barn, going to the Big M, you know, I got a golden wife out of the, you know. Listen, we're not all that different. I'm just going to tell you. 60, 70 years from now, some of you are going to be shooting that same video, and you're going to have your arm around, you know, your wife or your husband on the couch, and you're going to be like, "Well, we met on Match.com. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And we texted each other," and the people are going to be like, "Oh, texting, come on, texting," right? It's just another generation. And I would just say to you, to see them, if God gives you, "Man, I want to shoot that video. That's the video that I want to shoot someday. If God gives me that many years, I want to shoot a video where I can say, curveballs, yeah. Difficult decisions, yeah. Do it all again." But if God doesn't give you that many years, if God gives you a road that's difficult to walk, what do you do? Did you hear what Karen said? God first, family second, career third. She called us to what Solomon called us to in that verse that she quoted from Psalm 119. She said, my soul is buried in sorrow and grief. But what? But your word. But your word sustains me. Real life is loving God and following His word. I love one of the things she says in her video. Just caught it right there in the middle. She talks about all the things that have happened in her life. And you think she's going down this trail of, "Oh man, poor me." And she gets down to the end of that. She's like, "I was doing the career thing." And she's like, "So really, I've never really lived until today. Because now I've got things in the right order." She's calling us to exactly what Solomon is calling us to. Listen, do not get to the end of your life with a mountain of regrets. Love God. Follow His word. And you may be here saying, like, Dean, look, I don't buy any of it. I don't buy the Christian thing. I don't buy, but look, you've got to at least agree with me about this reality. That your greatest regret, whatever that is, whether it was something you did, something done to you, your greatest regret, that one thing that you say, if I could go back in my life and change that, I would change that. I can almost guarantee that would have never happened if you or the people involved had been living in accordance with the principles of Scripture. Right? Whether you believe or you don't believe. Because the greatest legacy ever left in the world was left by a man who was 30-ish years old when he died. More orphanages, more hospitals, more schools, more AIDS care facilities. More was done in his name for the plight of women and children around the world than anyone else who's ever lived. The greatest legacy ever was left by Jesus. Why? Because at the end of his life, like Caleb, he said, I'll take that mountain right there. The mountain of sin, regret, and shame that you and I built. And Jesus climbed all the way to the top of Mount Calvary with a cross and was crucified there for your sins and my sins. And he has left a legacy for us to follow. What's the legacy? Love God. Follow his word. And that will sustain you if you live into your 80s, 90s, 100s. Or it will sustain you and me if we don't have all those years. It's the only certain, real thing. If you don't have that, if you haven't embraced a personal relationship with Christ, I want to give you the chance to do that today. Let's pray together.